of Staccato. Today we have our guest Mina with us. We are slowly going through the class of 2028 and getting each of our guests on. But Mina, do you want to introduce yourself, say a little bit about you?
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Mina Abdullah. I'm currently a first year medical student alongside Avantika. And I am just so excited to be here. A little bit about me. I went to ASU, studied biomed, and then came to U of A for med school. I don't know what else to
Yeah.
say.
And now
Are
we're
you
about
originally
6 months.
from Phoenix? So originally I was born in Iraq, and I moved to the US in 2008. I'm a refugee, and my family kind of went through a lot coming to the US. I think that's the biggest reason why I also decided to do medicine. It's a big part of my story. So, yeah.
Yeah, we
Very nice.
recently, did you graduate from Barrett, Mina, or you didn't do Barrett?
Yes, I did do Barrett at ASU.
Okay, so we had Sadaf on our podcast, and she's also a refugee, and she spoke at the Barrett graduation. And so you guys kind of have a similar story there. She's also in the process of applying to med school and everything. So that's very interesting. It's cool to hear everyone's background.
Yeah, no, I love that. I do remember her speaking at our graduation. Oh my gosh, I relate to her a lot.
I know. She made me cry with her speech. So good.
Yeah.
Did
But
you guys know each other before med school or no?
no, we like have similar like people that we know, and I'm just surprised we never ran into each other.
I know, especially after 4 years, like doing Barrett and everything too. Acacia, you said you recognized Mina, right?
I think we met in person like once or twice at a Barrett event, like freshman, sophomore year, but we've definitely been following each other on Instagram for like a long time.
That's so crazy.
That is so crazy. What a small world, because I would have
Yeah.
never imagined.
Especially Barrett. Like, I think Barrett like makes it like even smaller, which is really interesting. Is there other ASU grads that are in your guys' med class? Isn't there like four of you?
There's quite a few, I think. I don't know how many Barrett grads we have, though.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know. But I'm sure that there's a couple of ASU undergrads. Maybe a couple of them have taken gap years, but I know that there
Yeah.
are a couple that graduated from
What
ASU.
percent of our class is in-state? Do you remember? Is it like 70 or more than that?
I feel like 70 makes sense. There's a
Yeah.
high percentage, but there's also a lot of people from like California and other states.
Right.
Yeah.
And like even if they're in-state, they could have gone to undergrad somewhere else and then applied to med school in-state too. But I do think there's a lot of ASU people, just no one's jumping to mind right now.
Well, it's interesting too, because like I'm not even in your guys' med class, but like I think I watched your guys' white coat ceremony and I was like, I recognize like 15 people, which is
Yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a pipeline, right? Go to ASU for undergrad and then apply to all the in-state schools and
Yeah,
then
you
choose
go to the
one of
better
them.
school first. You go to the better like general school first, and then you go to like the good med school. But like you
I
don't
know.
need to go there for undergrad,
All
you know.
right. Mina and I have had to hide our like sun devil side. We don't let that come out too often.
I
We're too
mean,
scared of getting jumped.
I've had my fair share of little sun devil versus bear
Good.
down like feuds with people.
Yeah, I'm like all my ASU gear I never wear in Tucson. I save that to wear when I'm back in Chandler. I did try it once at the library. Horrible idea. Never doing that again.
You were rocking your Barrett sweater like all around
That
campus.
was, yeah. So I started
But
with
that's
like
more
my
subtle.
pitchfork.
That's more subtle because that's not like ASU explicitly,
That's
you
what I
know?
thought, Acacia. That's what I thought. That's why I wore it. Turns out it's not subtle. Everyone knows exactly what Barrett is and called me out for it.
I feel like it's the Arizona people know. People from out of state probably don't necessarily know that. And
For
then
sure.
Avantika came in and visited me like a month ago or something, and she was like, I think you were wearing U of A, or you had your bag that had
I
U of
have
A,
my
and then
tote
you
bag.
turned it around because you're like, I don't want to get like
I
screamed at
know.
or something. Really?
The rivalry is real. And it feels like I can never win now because whenever I go back to Tempe, I have some of my U of A stuff. And then when I'm here, I have my ASU stuff.
I know. I
I
always
just.
backing up ASU, but then I'm like, well, I'm a wildcat now, so I
Yeah,
can't say
currently.
much.
Right. But our roots are with
Our
ASU.
roots. Oh my God. That's what's
Forever.
important. That's what's important. I mean, I was about to say you're going to spend more time at ASU, but no, it's equal because it's 4 and 4. So won't even necessarily win out. But maybe Barrett's the extra edge. You did like an extra thing. I don't know.
Maybe, but I am giving U of A way more money than I gave ASU, so I don't
Oh,
know what that
that's
means.
so true. Oh, Well,
yes.
Avantika, you also like went to undergrad for free. So like
But
obviously
still,
you're
like,
giving them
just
more
comparing
money.
tuitions, just looking at
Yeah,
tuitions.
if just you're going off money, that's true. I just bought tickets for a softball tournament at U of A next weekend, and it hurt to give them money. I was like,
Oh, I
why am
know.
I financially supporting the enemy right now?
No,
Like,
and even when you're a student, like U of A doesn't give you a gym membership or gym pass. ASU used to give one for free, like it was included in our
well, it's not
tuition.
free, but yeah, it's included.
Yes, yeah, like we paid indirectly. And then even here for the basketball tickets, students have to pay for both football and basketball tickets, which I know ASU, it was included in that.
Yeah, just have to wait for ASU to open their medical school and we might
Yeah,
as well transfer.
exactly. A couple more
True.
years. It's gonna take.
True, true. Although now there's some competition because Creighton has the Phoenix campus too. So then there's gonna be three, I guess three major ones. Because I mean, there's all like the what's the other one? DP. What's the other acronym?
The DO school? There's
DO
Midwestern up
schools.
there
Yeah.
too.
Yeah. So there's like Midwestern and stuff, but then it'll be Creighton, U of A, and ASU all in downtown Phoenix.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of, oh.
Anyway, Mina, more about you. Since you're the guest, like what are your interests outside of med school? And then maybe if you want to like talk about, I mean, you kind of said about like being a refugee that influenced you wanting to go into medicine, but maybe anything else about that.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. Some of my hobbies, I mean, like, so at ASU, I was part of REACT, which was an organization where we had a free clinic for refugees and immigrants in Arizona. And I feel like that was the biggest thing that I could have ever done, something that I was so passionate about. And I feel like I speak about it everywhere I go. And I think it's still going on. So it makes me so happy about that. But I feel like outside of school, I really enjoy playing volleyball. Me and Avantika are on a volleyball team. Though we do like to joke around and say all we do is stand on the court and look pretty because
So
there
we have some
are sports.
incredible players on our team. We had like one girl who played for her college volleyball. Like everyone's at a super high level. And Mina and I we're there for a good time. We're there for the moral support. We're there to keep the team moral up and we get our exercise in. So I think it's a win-win for everyone. But that has been fun this semester. We started, it's 6-on-6 right now, and
It's
we've
funny,
played
that's a
four
flip.
games.
That's a flip from what you said before, because you used to complain that you would go play volleyball in like Chandler and people were so bad, and you'd be like, oh, I just wish I was playing with good people. Now you got
I
your
know.
wish. No, our
Exactly.
team is really good. Like, they
Yeah.
know how to play.
They're doing a good job.
Yeah.
I think we've played four games so far and we've won all of them. Maybe
Very
three
good.
games, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And last semester, I was also part of a volleyball team with some of the same people. And then we added a few for this semester. But last semester, we went all the way to championships and then got second place. So this season, we're looking for redemption. So hopefully, it goes well for us.
Fingers
Fingers crossed.
crossed, win the championship.
Yeah. And then I'll get like my third piece of U of A gear because if you win, they give you like a intramurals championship t-shirt. So I
I
can add
am
that to
the
my
most
collection.
excited for that part.
Exactly. Yeah. Mina and I always talk about how like U of A doesn't give us any of the free stuff. And so we're like trying to build up. We have like one Patagonia jacket, one tote bag, and now we can add one t-shirt.
You don't need that much stuff though. Like, 'cause like then you graduate and you're like, you're not wearing it all the time. You need like your like one sweatshirt and one t-shirt and then like you're good, you know? 'Cause like you go to Goodwill like in Tempe, you know, and you just see a ton of ASU gear. Like
True.
you just don't wear it after graduation 'cause unless
Yeah.
you're going to like a game or something.
You need all the staples.
I will
Yeah.
say that I still feel like I have more ASU merch from like
Yeah.
the undergrad than I have at U of A, but yeah.
I think that's just like an undergrad grad thing too. Because in undergrad, freshman year, people just throw stuff at you. And now grad
True.
school, it's like you have to hunt for the stuff.
True.
We can talk about the hockey game, Mina. Do you want to
Well,
talk?
Mina didn't finish talking about her
Oh,
hobbies. Or
Are
answer
you?
my other question. We got off on the volleyball tangent.
Okay, go ahead.
So many side conversations.
I
They're so
know.
cool. But I guess one other thing that I really have been enjoying is my little matcha hobby.
I
We
was gonna
started.
ask, I was like, are you in the matcha club? Are you involved in that?
Yes, we had our first event this past week. We had the CEO of matcha.com actually come and do a little presentation on the origins of matcha, making matcha. We had a little demonstration. So everybody in our class that came to the event got to actually make the matcha. And it was honestly so exciting. And I think we got so much good feedback. Though some people still did not really like the bitterness of matcha. I mean, I don't blame them because I don't drink my matcha if it's not with a bunch of creamer and milk. So,
We had options there. Like you guys had the milk, oat milk, agave syrup, and so like you could customize it.
yes, yeah. And I think once people started adding like the milk and the agave, they were like, wait, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
So it was just so fun getting to like be with everyone. And I think everyone just like started opening up to liking matcha more.
I feel like
Yeah.
it's the same trajectory as coffee. Like you think when you're a kid, the first time you drink like black coffee, you're like disgusting. And then it's like the learning curve, and then people figure it out, and then you have the coffee purists who drink like just straight cold brew on ice sort of thing. You probably have the matcha purists, same thing, and then most people mix it with things. So
Right. It was interesting. Like we had a little Q&A session too, and people were asking about like, oh, coffee versus matcha, which one's better for energy, like caffeine content. He was giving us like the behind the scenes of everything. So that was interesting to hear about. I think like matcha seems healthier for you. I don't know if that's just like a stereotype or a stigma, but like he was talking about how the caffeine en energy is over time. So you don't get like the high and then the immediate crash. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, matcha has like known to have a lot of antioxidants and L-theanine for that like slow release of caffeine, so it doesn't make you super jittery. And I think that's what I love about it. So I still can't cut my coffee out. I'll still have like my cup of coffee in the morning, but so that I don't get super jittery, I always follow it up with a little cup of
There you
matcha.
go. You have a system.
Yes, I already have a whole system going on.
There
Yeah.
you go. I would say then my other question was the anything else besides being a refugee that led you to wanting to study medicine?
Ooh, that's a good question. I honestly think it all just builds off of my experiences from being a refugee. Like coming to the US, my family had to figure out the whole healthcare system and figuring out the insurance policies, figuring out how to even make doctor's appointments and getting there. And we basically had to start from scratch when we came here trying to find housing and just trying to figure everything out. And it's so true when they say that. As a refugee, you're like thinking about so much things other than your health. That's number one, finding a job, number like finding a house, finding a car. And so my family went through all that, and I think healthcare was always kind of a burden to think about, like, oh, the system is so confusing, like we don't even want to go there. So I think living through that experience just made me want to be part of it and make it more accessible to refugees, like making healthcare easier to navigate. That way it doesn't become such a burden for refugees.
Have you had any shadowing experiences so far that you've been able to tie in like the refugee aspect of it and the shadowing together? Or not yet.
I do remember volunteering at the Refugee Cup Clinic, and that was a really eye-opening experience because the most of the patients that they see there are refugees. And when they first come, they'll do a medical screening. So they'll do a really thorough history and physical. And I think it wasn't something that was completely new to me just because I did have some experiences through the refugee clinic at ASU. But I think it just further like ignites my passion for wanting to walk through refugees through that process because they're coming in, they're like getting thrown into everything, and they sit through like an hour or 2 hour history and physical, and they're like confused and like, why are these people asking me so many questions? And so I think watching and shadowing how that physician guided that refugee through the physical and history, it made me realize like, you really have to watch what you're saying, you have to be really gentle, and clarify everything, that they're not just being used just to, get some information out of them, that it's for their own benefit and it's for like preventative medicine and just making sure that they are prioritizing their health.
Yeah. It's so interesting to see all the different aspects of healthcare. And like at the end of the day, yes, we're treating the patient, but the way you go about it is so minutely different for a refugee versus a mom versus like there's so many different aspects you can look at it from. So
Yes.
very interesting.
Yes, so true.
Something that just came to mind is with all like current events and stuff that's happening in your guys' classes, have you talked about it all, like all the government rollbacks on like the medicine side and the NIH and things like that? Do you guys talk about it or not really?
We kind of discussed it. We had a
I think we can say it. So we're part of a master's in public health course. And so we're doing that at the same time as getting our MD. And one of our professors is like very involved with the NIH and CDC. And so he was mentioning that they've canceled their meetings. And normally he's part of these meetings and he gets to have a say in like what the policies are going to be and everything. But because of the situation with the government right now, he said they haven't had a meeting in months, which is unheard of. And so he was just telling the class about his experience with it. And so things are changing. I think we just have to stay updated to see what the long-term effects of it are going to be. But it's scary to hear about.
Yeah, and I think we're also getting told that like we do have to put patients first. So if anybody tries to look for records or whatever that may be, that patients do come first, and we have HIPAA in place to protect our patients if there be any kind of searching or whatever that may look like.
Yeah. And
That's
they talked
good.
about like they reinforced at the end of the day, no matter what your beliefs are, what your views are, everyone took an oath to serve their patient and to put their patient first. And so, regardless of what privacy comes with it or if people are asking questions, like it's the patient's health that we're looking out for. And then other people have their other jobs, but we can't let that distract us.
That's good. I'm glad they reinforced
Yeah.
that. It'll I don't know if it'll like affect you guys directly in terms of any funding issue. I feel like that's more for like PhD students and people doing research that are feeling it, especially like their funding is cut. But I think since you guys are paying normally, that shouldn't affect you.
Yeah, we'll just have to stay updated. Hope everything goes
Yeah.
well.
Fingers
Yeah.
crossed.
I know, seriously. Speaking of other shadowing experiences, though, we can talk about the hockey. That was a fun time.
That was a super fun time. So me and Avantika went to go shadow sports medicine at the U of A hockey game. And it was both of our first experiences with family medicine and specifically sports medicine. And the physician that we were shadowing just seemed so passionate about being able to do sports med and the variety of settings that you can practice sports med in. And it definitely opened our eyes. We didn't get to see too many things, which is a good thing. We don't want
Right.
many injuries, but it was really interesting the dynamic of how sports medicine works is that, you're just working with the hockey team or whatever team you're working with. And I don't know, it was really interesting. I don't know, Vantika, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I feel like every time I do a shadowing experience, I'm like, this is the one. I really like this because it's the first time I see it. I'm so excited about it. So I definitely did get that feeling with sports medicine, and I liked like the camaraderie and the rapport that the doctor had with the team because they see each other multiple times a week. He's at the practices, at the games. And so it's like, hey, doc, can I have this? Or hey, doc, can you help me with this? And so I like that feeling of being close with your patients. And then also, it's such an exciting environment. We got to see the game and cheer on the team, and U of A ended up winning. And so all of that was a really good time, too. And then I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but I got to do like the most minor procedure ever. Basically, one of the hockey people like split his chin. And so we have this thing called Dermabond, which is just glue for the skin, basically. So I super glued his chin, and that was about it. But I was like,
That's
oh, I did
funny.
something sports
That's
med.
funny. Two
Yeah.
things with that. First of all, didn't know U of A had a hockey team. Just like I didn't know that ASU had had a hockey team, but of course, we're good now, so everyone talks about it. But
I
interesting
do
that U of A
think
has one.
the one we saw was like their club team, and I don't know the distinction exactly because they have a professional team that Mina and I wanted to shadow, and we tried,
The
But
Roadrunners, yeah, that's what the team is. And I guess they just are so strict about it because, I mean, these players cost like millions of dollars. So it's just so much more higher stakes. So,
Right. And the doctor
yeah.
was saying, he's like, we can't risk it. We can't have medical students. We actually have five doctors on staff per game for every game, which is
Wow.
insane, like to hire that many people for one game. But like he
Yeah.
was talking about, in case something happens to their face, we have like a maxillofacial person there. And then in case something happens to a bone, we have an orthopedic person there. And so ha they had like all the specialties presented
Very
there. So that was
interesting.
cool.
And then the second thing that I thought of was that it's interesting that that's included in your guys' options for shadowing, because usually people who are in sports med do PT school, which is like separate, kind of track. I mean, I guess there are doctors who then go into sports med, but usually I feel like the people with the team are, people who have gone to PT school and not med school. So I think that I wouldn't have expected you guys to do a sports med shadowing.
And then the thing is, you go through family med first. And so family med opens the doors to a whole bunch of different subspecialties. And then sports med is just one of them. And you can have your own clinic and have like the athletes come to you, or you can work for a team. And so lots of options.
It
Very
really made me
interesting.
start considering family medicine.
What did you say? You
It
cut out a
really
little.
made me start considering family medicine.
I know. And especially because I have that OBGYN interest too, as does Mina, actually. Both of us are on the OBGYN interest group leadership team. And so that's also an experience we can talk about. But because Family Med has the opportunity where you can like deliver the babies and then take care of the babies and take care of the mom, plus all these other different options, I'm like, okay, maybe I have to put it on the list. Maybe I need more shadowing.
Definitely a lot of doors because you can go into so many things and you can see both adults and pediatric patients, and it's just so much that you can do within that field.
Yeah. Thank goodness we have like 3 years to decide, because I'm very confused after doing all these shadowing.
The more I shadow, the more I realize that I actually like everything. Like, I feel like I could convince myself to like anything. Which I feel like I need to just choose something and stick with it.
I feel
And
like
I
that's
think.
a good indicator that you're in the right place, though, because I feel like it would be concerning if you were like, doing all these and had zero interest whatsoever. I feel like it's you are meant to be in medicine if you're feeling this way after all the shadowing and rotations.
I'm sure though, some of like the MS3 for like residents right now, they're probably thinking like, oh, they're so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed right now. Like everything seems so exciting for them. And then once we actually start rotations, we're gonna get a reality check of like, oh my God, I don't like being on call, or I don't like surgery, or whatever it is. But it is like Acacia said, it's a good sign everything's going well so far.
No, I'm looking forward to that reality check. I think I need that.
Just to filter it out a little bit,
Yeah, yes.
feel like freshman vibes, or like now that it's second semester, not as much, or like how would you compare it to like undergrad freshman feeling versus now? Because you did kind of have to start from like zero again.
Yeah, I feel like it's a different kind of freshman vibe than undergrad. I still feel like very new to everything. I'm like changing my learning strategies like every block. And I think I won't really solidify that until I'm a second year. And maybe even then I'm still going to be learning about it. But I feel like even though we are, the first class of the whole like medical school, we're the babies of the Cool. It does feel a little bit different than undergrad because I feel like I'm a little bit more guided through the process. In undergrad, I felt a little lost. And even though I knew I wanted to do medicine, it kind of just felt like, okay, like, what am I doing? Medical school seems a little bit more guided. And it's also nice because we also act as mentors to pre-meds. And so, like, I'm also an MD ambassador. So it's been nice to talk to like pre-meds about the process of applying to medical school and just little tips and tricks that we can give them that I wasn't able to do as an undergrad because I was just too lost.
I think the social aspect of it, like week one, we were talking about how orientation felt a lot like freshman year, because everyone's trying to figure out who's in the friend groups and who can I talk to, who are going to be my friends. But then after that initial scramble and everyone got into their friend groups and like knows knows the structure of everything, I think it got easier. So the first couple of weeks definitely felt a lot like, oh my gosh, I'm 18 again and I'm learning everything for the first time. And it's only got better from there.
It does seem like from everything that like your guys are saying and Avantika's told me too, that you guys are just so much more supported. Like ASU's so big that like, you kind of just get lost. And even like within Barrett, like that's a little bit smaller. Like your guys' med school is like tiny. So you guys get so much more like individualized support and help. It seems like if you guys ever have the slightest issue, you know like exactly who to talk to and like that it's gonna be fixed no problem, which is really nice, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does feel good to have the support. And then we were also talking about recently, it feels like we just started, but they're actually accepting the next class already. Like they're sending out admissions. And so in a couple months, we're not going to be the babies anymore, which is really scary to think
Oh.
about. Like I'm not ready to be a second year yet. It feels like it's too soon.
It does feel like that. We're gonna be like considered the sophomores of school, and I just can't believe that because I feel like time is flying by so.
Yeah. But then if you think back to it, you're like, when we started, we knew nothing. And so since we have, we are learning, we're doing what we're supposed to do. So it's like, it feels like it went by so fast. But then at the same time, okay, we did learn stuff. Like, okay.
And you guys have packed a lot in. Imagine how much more wrinkly your brains are now than they were in
Yes.
August.
Seriously. Hopefully, we can
So much
retain
more
it.
packed
That's a
in there.
different conversation,
I
but.
know. We're gonna blink our eyes and it's gonna be like fourth year.
I know.
Time is gonna fly by so fast.
Yeah. Our friend group did a little cute thing a couple months ago where we took a video of us predicting what we're going to match into. And then in 4 years, hopefully we can follow up with the video and then like see what everyone thought they were going to match into and then what actually ended up happening. That'll be a cute time capsule to look back on of
Yeah,
today.
cute idea. Yeah, me and another girl in our class, we just decided to pull up our phones and we were like, you know what? We need to capture this moment from now and kind of have everyone just predict what they want to match into and see how much it changes. And I think that's going to be so cute to look
I
back
know.
fourth year and we're just going to rewatch the videos and see where we're at.
I think
Yeah.
you guys could even do it beginning of every year, like every August, ask everybody and see if it like changes or if people are saying the same thing the whole time. Yeah, or after each rotation, like how did your opinions change after doing it for 6 months?
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, we should make that like a docu-series.
Oh, yes. Are you doing a distinction track, Mina?
Yeah, I'm doing the cup distinction track and the global health distinction track.
What's cup?
It is commitment to underserved people. So we have free clinics to the Tucson population, whoever is underserved, uninsured. We'll have different clinics like Shubitz for basically family medicine. We have a women's clinic, a kids clinic, and they're opening a lot more. So there's like a derm clinic now and a vasectomy clinic, and just offering free services to people who don't have insurance. And I think it's so great. And I was like, I need to be a part of this.
That's
And
awesome.
so I'm part of the women's clinic. I think I must have mentioned it at some point, but
Yeah.
I basically give like resources from the community that aren't directly related to health, but always contribute to someone's lifestyle. And Mina also has a leadership position in CUP. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm the lead lab coordinator, so we also provide free labs at the clinic. So, me and a group of other lab coordinators, we basically volunteer at the clinic, drawing blood, giving vaccines. And so that's been really cool. It's been an interesting viewpoint of medicine because, when I'm not part of a care team, it's kind of behind the scenes drawing blood and then looking back at the results and seeing if there's abnormal values and then tying it back into their encounter. So it's been a really interesting point of view for me.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny the first time, like when everyone's getting trained on the vaccines, we just train on each other. And so we all left that clinic that day with like five band-aids on each arm, but everyone got trained. Now we can do it in actual patients. But that was pretty funny.
Were you guys giving like dummy vaccines or you were actually vaccinating each other?
No, saline shots.
Saline, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I think you guys were already vaccinated because it's like a requirement to be in
Yeah.
school, but
Yeah.
the
We were
shots
all.
for everyone.
Yeah, so that's been fun. They have a couple clinics every month, and so you can sign up to be on the care team or if you have a leadership position. And so we've kind of got to see all sides of it, which is cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, I was going to ask, Mina, have you gotten a chance to speak Arabic at any of the clinics? Has the opportunity arisen? I know Tucson population is obviously very Hispanic, lots of Mexico. But is there, have you gotten to do Arabic or even maybe in your experience at ASU, like React and stuff like that?
Not yet, not in med school yet. I really want to. I feel like I would love to be able to speak Arabic with and like help translate just to get bridge that gap. But I have spoken Arabic at the React clinic when we had a couple of Arabic speaking patients. But I do hope that like over the summer I'll get to work a little bit on my medical Arabic. That way I can translate a little bit better. There are some complicated words in Arabic that in specifically in medicine that I am looking forward to learning, but I haven't had an opportunity to use it yet. But I hope so soon.
Are you doing like a formal class or something, or are you just yourself are gonna like study?
I think I'm just going to try and study it. I am trying to see if I can go to the Middle East over the summer and do some shadowing there and see how much I can learn and absorb. But maybe just taking my own little classes every now and then just to work on some Arabic.
Yeah,
That would be
because that
super
would be part
fun.
of the global health track, right? You could do a summer experience, get credit for that. So hopefully all that works out.
Where would you be able to go, probably?
Well, the Middle East is a little touchy subject, but Jordan right now is a safer option. And I think they have like Oman, but with the global health track, it can't just be it has to be an underserved country. Though I'd love to go to Dubai or something. And practice, my Arabic there. I won't be able to, but Jordan is definitely on there. So,
You could even do Egypt. Usually Egypt's pretty stable that you can do things.
yeah, I don't think they classify Egypt as a underdeveloped country, but yeah.
Is Jordan counted? Because I feel like I've never heard Jordan is like technically underdeveloped.
I think they are counted as,
Really?
it's on the
Interesting.
list of options to go for the global health track. So, we shall.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Yes.
Okay,
Well,
well, we can do song of the week then. We can
yeah.
wrap it up with that. So, I don't know if you've listened to an episode before. We basically just like say what song we've had on repeat this past week or lately.
Okay.
Sabrina Carpenter did release, I don't know if it was like her
Yes.
deluxe album. Was it a single?
It's deluxe, yeah.
Okay. I did listen to one of them, but like, I don't know. The first time you listen to something, it never really sticks.
You're not allowed to say that, Monte. You can't say something you've listened to once as your song of the week. Not allowed.
I'm looking for another one.
I have two options.
Okay, go for
Okay,
it.
go
Kick us
ahead.
off.
Well, I have an Arabic song and I also have an English song.
Okay.
My Arabic song is Khatir by
Okay.
Hussein Jasmine, and then my English song is After Hours by Kalani.
We love a multilingual playlist. I do Spanish songs all the time. Avantika's done like Bollywood songs, so it's a
Diversity.
very yes, it's a
Love
diverse
to see it.
playlist.
I think for
Avantika, yours.
me, okay, so James Charles, believe it or not, does have songs.
He does.
It did take me a little bit to like actually see if they were good or not, but he's not bad. And so he
Okay.
came out with a new song recently, and it's called He Loves Me Not. It's very like heartfelt, and honestly, his voice isn't bad. So this is a little James Charles shout out.
Yeah, no, I think people like just bandwagon hate on him, to be fair. So
He
there
probably
is that.
is. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Because of the Super Bowl, I went and like found a playlist that had all of the SZA and Kendrick collabs, and they have like four songs together. Now, Cassidy already put Luther on our playlist when she was on, so I can't do that one, and that one is my favorite. And so then I will do one off the Short and Sweet Deluxe because I've already listened to that many, many times. And I'm going to say 15 minutes is my favorite one on that. I like, sometimes it feels like the new songs on the deluxe album are like very separate, like they don't necessarily like fit the flow of the album, but I feel like all the songs are very like still Short and Sweet vibes. So I appreciated them for sure.
There we go. We have a couple new songs on there. As always, it's linked in our bio if you want to go give a listen to that playlist. But Mina, thank you so much for being on. This is a fun little chit chat, and thanks for sharing your experiences and talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I always hear the podcasts. I listen to them every week, and I have just been so honored that I was invited to be on.
Of
Just
course.
looking forward to future episodes.
Yeah. And then for anyone else out there listening, if you want to be a guest, always feel free to reach out to us and we're happy to have you on. But until next time, thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Staccato. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us some stars and a review telling us what you think.